wonderful one, and welcome back to Cinema Gems. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And we're in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist. And I excuse myself, listeners, I did burp in the middle of that take, so I hope that I masked it really well, but I do apologize. But of course, listeners, you're probably wondering, wait, but it's just you talking. I can assure you that the Honorable Tesla and the Fantastimus Frida are here in the video store. It's a little bit chillier right now. Another cold front came through. It's a little bit chillier, so the Honorable Tesla is in his little raccoon sweater, and Frida is the naked day that we adopted her. But of course, the illustrious Butt Maestro is here. How's it going, buddy?
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Cinema Gems. Bear with, I just got distracted by a weird sound. There is some drilling going on right outside my apartment, apparently. But hi, welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about the movies we love. And which one have we got this week, Admiral?
The Elephant Man, which was a suggestion by one of our listeners.
The Elephant Man, of course, directed by the late legendary David Lynch.
This is our homage to David Lynch. We feel that we were discussing things on and off air, and then we put it out there for one of the listeners to write in, and one of the listeners did write in and suggested that we do Elephant Man.
Did that listener suggest a name that they would like to be known and shouted out on as the show?
Oh yes.
Can we give them a name drop, a shout out?
Of course, I was going to do that in a couple minutes, but yeah, I can do it now. This guy always trying to push me to do something first when I have a plan.
I just want to make sure our listeners are getting the credit they deserve when they follow instructions.
Okay. Daz Master, but we refer to him as Daz. Daz, thank you very much for the suggestion.
Good call, Daz.
Yes.
This was an interesting little movie, and I'm going to say right off the bat, this is one of those movies that gets real sad and real dark real fast.
For the entire length of the movie.
For the entire length. It doesn't really let up. If you're familiar with any of David Lynch's filmography, you are already familiar with the level of intensity that he brings to a movie and perspective.
Do you want to talk about the music right off the bat? Because you mentioned the music before we started recording, and I kind of want you to just dive in with it.
So composer John Morris does a really good job setting up the tone of not only is this Victorian England, not only are there multiple worlds here sociologically built right on top of each other that exist in a barely commingling state, and you get that in themes that collide with each other in the movie, he also makes brilliant usage of pre-composed music by famous composers. We'll describe the ending a little bit later on, but his use of Barber's Serenade for Strings at the end is chef's kiss, beautiful, tear-jerking. Anyone on Reddit forums that has said that this movie has made them cry, especially at the end, I think Barber's Serenade for Strings really hammers that in. It is one of those very emotional pieces. There's a reason it's been played at President's Funeral.
As well as
Pavane for a Dead Princess, there's a reason this has been played at President's Funerals. It is one of those very touching, deeply emotional pieces that really elevates anything that's happening around it. And so to put that at the end of the movie, perfect.
So speaking of the ending, when you mentioned the ending makes some people cry, Patron got really sad. I had to grab the Honorable Tesla and cuddle with him, because a spoiler alert for a 45-year-old movie, but when John Merrick, that's the name of the Elephant Man, and yes, he was a real character in Victorian England, we'll talk about that in a second, when he literally took the pillows off of his bed. But Maestro, I literally screamed at the TV and go, no, don't lay down.
Yeah, it's devastating. If you have not seen this movie before and don't know all of the things that were really messed up with this person's body, that whole statement doesn't make any sense. And honestly, good. You should go and watch the movie. Now, a quick little thing of how we watched this movie. I'm sure the Admiral had it on DVD in the video store.
Criterion Collection, baby. Criterion Collection.
This had very recently been completely scrubbed from any and all major streaming services. It was on Max and Prime for a certain time. It is no longer, but I got to watch this movie on archive.org. Not a partner, not a sponsor. It's a public source that anyone can watch and I believe can contribute to. It works like an online library. It is a public source, so bear with it if it buffers just a little bit. It's like Wikipedia. It's a free public source. But once again, archive.org to the rescue. And that's where you can watch it if you don't want to go out and try to buy the DVD.
I'm glad that that Daz did help us pick this one to talk about David Lynch, because I feel that this is probably David Lynch's best work. Like, yes, Eraserhead is really good. Yes, Mulholland Drive is amazing. Yes, Dune is really good. But I personally like this one because when you mention the music in general, but it's also the art and the fact that David Lynch worked as a roofer before Mel Brooks, the comedic styles of Mel Brooks, the satirist Mel Brooks, helped get this movie made, because Mel Brooks was like, wow, this is actually a really good drama that I can see wanting to be produced. Wait, the studio doesn't want you to have it in black and white? Here, take my money, yep. Produce it however you want to do.
Yep.
I will only put my name on in the beginning, says Brooks Film, so I won't, because you know, he didn't want to put his name on it because then people would think that it was a satire. Right. It was a comedy.
Right.
So the fact that Mel Brooks helped David Lynch like produce this movie also makes me love it a little bit more, because it shows how much Mel Brooks loved and cared about the art of cinema. Like, yes, it could have been in color. Yes, it could have been. But black and white is such a distinct pick for this movie that it had to be done.
To capture just kind of the raw intensity of the time period, I think it worked phenomenally well. It made all of the darker section of the movie where you see a lot of people who are just very desperate, I feel like is the best way to describe, especially... caretaker is not the right word for it, but Merrick the Elephant Man, the people he lives with and is exploited by at the beginning and kind of like latter third of this movie, like, I don't know, I think David Lynch does a really good job of framing, like, these people are doing bad things, but it is because they are in a very desperate position in British society where, like, they have nothing. They have to utilize whatever they have on hand. They have no resources. They have to, like, desperate times call for desperate measures. That doesn't justify doing really bad things to people, but in their eyes, they're doing what they have to do to survive. Like, using this guy who has all these natural deformities as a circus act, as a freak show, and making money off of it is the only way he knows how to make a living. That's not a defense for the terrible things he does, but it makes it a little less easy to just go, that's the bad guy.
I was actually talking about Patron while we were watching this. This is a classic nature versus nurture.
Yes.
A point of argument.
Yes.
Like, nature, obviously, he was just in a society, as you mentioned beforehand, that didn't really care about him, that was being fueled by oligarchy. Yes, Victorian era was very oligarchy-esque. That they were just, as you said, and that doesn't give them the right to do what they did. That does not. But it helped to alleviate some stress that they had in their life, to look and not feel bad for themselves. But once again, that does not give them the right to do what they did. As the Buttmeister said, that's what they had to do to survive. So, and then when he met Anthony Hopkins, which I didn't realize Anthony Hopkins was so baby-like, because I haven't watched this movie since college.
Right.
He is such a baby face.
Even with a little beard on.
It is beautiful.
With a little beard on.
But,
and he gives a heck of a
performance. Exactly. So the fact that Anthony Hopkins, as a noted doctor of a Victorian era, picked this gentleman to also study and also help and nurture him, I feel it is a very classic case of nature versus nurture. But it's done in such a way that you have to argue it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
A really good movie. We've decided, before recording.
Y'all, I am so sorry if my mic happens to be picking up the obnoxious drilling sound that is happening, I think, two rooms away from me that I can hear clearly as if it's, like, vibrating through my headphones. I'm trying to volume control over here so y'all don't hear it, but wow.
That's the Honorable Tusk and the Phantasmus Fruta going through the space-time continuum to get to you soon. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get to their Uncle Butt Maestro. You don't have to apologize for that, buddy. It happens. We're free. We are literally a free podcast. We do not get paid,
like,
for that.
What are the freaking odds that right when I start recording is right when they're doing some kind of repair work on the building? And it's probably the repair work that we've been asking for like 3 years.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Guys, I just feel that you should watch this movie because we didn't want to talk about beat by beat. Yes, we talked about the ending. But we want you to watch it because this is, I feel like, the most, I guess, David Lynch film that can reach everyone, if that makes sense.
Just to kind of give you the most, give you a good vibe of what you're in for this movie. It takes place in Victorian England. The main character is Dr. Frederick Teague, played by Sir Anthony Hopkins. And he is much more compassionate to this person who is... Clearly, he doesn't see someone who the rest of society around him sees as a monster, as a circus freak. He doesn't see that. He sees a medical marvel. He sees an anomaly. He sees the human body changing in ways that it shouldn't necessarily, or maybe it should. Are we peeking into our evolution a little bit? Like, what's going on here? Gives him a chance, teaches him how to read and write, tries to do the whole My Fair Lady thing. And one of my favorite parts of this movie is the realization of all of these rich people of, have we just done the same thing, but on a richer scale? Like, have we just made him our circus freak? And, like, even though, yes, we're being kind and compassionate to him, are we still doing the same bad thing? Are we committing the same sin at the end of the day?
And that's what the nurse pointed out to the doc, to Dr. Frederick. Yeah, she pointed out, she's like, you're doing the same thing, just on a different level. Like, people feel better.
Yeah, it might have a nicer coat of paint, but it still might be cruel.
Exactly. The fact that, and a lot of people, like Patron even, was wondering who was under the Elephant Man makeup. And that's John Hurt, people. John Hurt.
That's the war doctor.
1 year after Alien.
Yep.
Ollivander. Like, come on. John Hurt does a phenomenal performance in this, and I wish that he would have won Best Actor. But, of course, it went... I think Al Pacino was in Raging Bull that year. I think that was...
If you have a heart, if you have a soul, John Hurt's performance is impossible to not sympathize in this.
Sorry, Robert De Niro. I don't want to apologize any Al Pacino or De Niro fans. So Robert De Niro won for Raging Bull, and it was also shot in black and white. I've seen both those movies, and I feel that John Hurt gave a better performance.
I agree.
I'm sorry. I'm not a big boxing guy, too, so it might be a taste thing, but... I feel so we mentioned that this was an actual person in Victoria in England. He was born in 1862 and he died in 1890, which he was a part of the 27 Club, the OG member.
Mm-hmm.
It is a really sad thing that he only lived to 27.
It also can't be understated. He lived his entire life in constant excruciating pain.
Yes.
Now, as someone that lives with a very low, comparatively, but still somewhat constant chronic pain, can relate. I'm not going to compare my pain to his, but, like... there is a relatability there. I try to calculate what I feel times 1,000 times something at undescribable and incomprehensible. And this man was in that kind of insane, excruciating pain constantly. And the fact that he still managed to find kindness for other people is nothing short of awesome.
And like, when he was 17 years old, he was rejected by his father and his new stepmother. And because, by the way, John Merrick's mom died in childbirth, or was it a couple days after giving birth to him?
I don't remember the details there.
I think it was either in childbirth or a couple days after. So his father remarried, his stepmother rejected him. He went to work at Union Workhouse, and then he met a showman named Sam Torr, who we get to see a characterization of in this film, and very much treats him like a freak, and it's not very well. And I love when Anthony Hopkins buys him off of Sam. Sam's like, no, that's my freak. That's my money. That's my person. And the head doctor's like, well, go to police. We'll tell them what you did. And the guy gets scared and runs off. And it's like, man, that's really sad.
Yeah.
That's extremely sad that somebody who has a really bad life has to prey upon someone else in order to have a better life. It's really sad.
The hardest parts of this movie to watch are the parts where this man, who is totally helpless and is a kind soul and doesn't want to hurt anybody, is absolutely harassed and abused in awful physical ways that I'm not going to describe on this show, because we're still trying to remain a PG show that you can listen to around your kids. But it's mean and awful, and things that I hope I don't have to tell you shouldn't do to him.
Sir John Hurt, exposed for the first time to inconvenience of having makeup applied while walking around, he called his wife saying, I feel like I finally managed to make myself hate acting. That's, wow. David Lynch's first studio and commercial movie. And you said you already talked about, we talked about the music, we talked about Mel Brooks, we talked about actual Joseph Merrick.
We talked about the constant chronic pain that this character is, and why it is. I mean, it would be so hard for me to argue with someone like him against them making a decision the way they did at the end of this movie to kind of go out the way they did. Because in so many ways, it is A, they feel like they've lived a good, fulfilling life despite all of the probabilities that they couldn't and wouldn't. But also, they are still in constant pain. And they've been told by the doctor that saved him, no, I can't cure you. I can give you a nice, pleasant life as much as I can, but I can't cure you. I can't take you out of this pain. And so I would be in a position to... who am I to tell you to not remove yourself from this constant pain? I don't know. It's really tricky. It's really messy. But I have to say, I kind of respect his decision at the end of just like, yeah, go be with your mom. It's really sad. Y'all, it's a really sad and really dark movie, and it punches you right in the gut. But I think it's also a very good dose of compassion and humanity that we all kind of need right now.
Patron and I were watching it, and we both were like, oh, no. Why would you do this to this poor man? Like, this is really sad. This is horrible what you're doing. And it's really sad. It's tremendously sad. And I know I keep saying just the word sad and it doesn't convey what it is. But if you watch the movie, you can understand the response that we're saying. Like, I have a few more fun facts that I want to talk.
Go for it.
When Sir Anthony Hopkins shot the tearful reaction encountering Merrick for the first time, Sir John Hurt was not on set. Anthony Hopkins was just staring unblinkingly into a strong light until a tear appeared.
Oh.
Also, this is the only Best Picture Oscar nominee for that year, from 1980, that didn't win any Academy Award. Nothing. It was nominated in several things, and it did not win anything.
That's a little bit insane.
Of course. And, you know, one of the little people in the carnival with the quote-unquote freak show, one of them was Kenny Baker, a.k.a. R2-D2.
Cool.
Oh, and this is also the only movie of David Lynch's filmography that does not feature a cast member from Twin Peaks.
Ah.
And I'm going to go with the... the bing bang boom facts for the But Maestro, because I know you love
it. Go for it.
So the movie was released on October 10th, 1980, so happy early 45th birthday, Elephant Man.
Yeah,
about 123 minutes. I didn't feel like it was 2 hours. It felt really perfect. It felt like it made you, your dread suspend for a certain time and made you think about every interaction you've ever had
right
at the right moment. Right. Like, I don't feel like it was too much, too little. Did you feel that way about my show?
Not at all. I thought it was just right.
So the movie was helped produced, of course, by Brooks Film, a.k.a. Mel Brooks. For the budget was $5 million, which in 1980, $5 million. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie made $26 million. Like, that's five times its budget back.
Insane.
So, we just want to, first of all, we want to thank Daz for writing in and suggesting that we review this. But we also, this is our tribute to David Lynch. Like, his work isn't the most favorite of us, but I don't know about the But Maestro, but I can agree that Elephant Man is probably my favorite David Lynch movie.
It's up there for me. Dune is also up there for me.
I know you probably like Dune better. It's fine.
And who can forget Twin Peaks? Eventually, I'm going to have to do a full rewatch.
Patron watched it, and she says Twin Peaks is her favorite David Lynch.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, guys, here on Cinema Gems, we have a rating system. Full gem, an amazing movie. Half gem, an alright movie. No gem, a horrible movie. But Maestro, what do you give Elephant Man from 1980?
This is obviously a full gem. I could not in good conscience give it any less.
I would agree with you. Because not only is it, well, we did mention that it is a biopic. I don't know if we've said it on air, but this movie is a biopic because it is about John Merrick, the actual Victorian deformed elephant man.
I cannot in good conscience give a movie that made me feel a lot of very strong emotions the way I did watching it. I cannot give that any less than a whole gem.
This is an amazing full gem, and everyone should watch it at a certain age. Please don't watch it too young.
Yeah, don't show your kids this unless, like, you know they're ready for something like it.
I think the best time to watch it
this does take a level of emotional maturity.
The best time to watch it, I think, for the first time is college, because
I think so, yeah.
You're on your own, and we should see how the world works. I know that's really sad.
End of high school, maybe.
I'm sorry. Oh, high school? Yeah.
End of high school, maybe.
I got it.
On your way out of high school.
I got it. Summer after high school ends, but also the summer before college. That's when you watch.
Yeah, that's more or less what I was going
for. That's when you watch Elephant Man. That's what you have to do to get in college. That's what you have to do. Watch Elephant Man.
I had never watched this movie before just a few days ago, so I'm way, way, way late to that party.
It's okay.
But I'm glad I watched it. It was an interesting one. Thank you, Daz, for recommending it. Good
thank
pick.
You, Daz. And also, I have another weird fun fact for you personally about Maestro.
So,
you know, in the Victorian era in England, that was like the mid-1800s, correct?
Yeah.
Do you know what was happening in America at that time?
Probably our Civil War.
Yes, but also that was the cowboy era. That was the Western.
Oh.
Westerns.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to let you know about that fun fact, because a lot of people don't realize that Victorian England was also
the same time as the Wild Wild
West. Yep. And also in Japan, I still think they had ninjas too. Pretty sure.
So, yeah, lots of weird things happening around the world all at the same time. Not terribly unlike today, which, hey, y'all, welcome to our usual end of show segment where we tell you to take care of yourselves. Take care of yourself. Drink some water. You know, take a breath where you need it. Take care of yourself so you can help others. I know Admiral's going to go into a spiel about thanking people. I'm going to first thank all the Cinemaniacs and Swapper Jacks, friends and family members, for all of your incredible support of this show. Please keep sending emails to cinemagems15@gmail.com about what you thought about our hot takes on these movies. What movies were we missing? You can go to lowrainpictures.com to find our entire extensive catalog of all the movies we've talked about. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yes. Thank you, But Maestro. And also Marty and the Arrogant Observer for allowing us to be on your website, lowrainpictures.com. Also Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. Guys, as the But Maestro said, please take time for yourself before you can help others. You don't want to light a candle from 4 points because then you become a flaming windmill. Insert flaming windmill song here.
Flaming windmill!
Flaming windmill. Flaming windmill. Yep.
Guys, look. Just relax. And I know that you're probably getting sick and tired of hearing this, but in some parts of the United States this year, you're able to vote. Please vote. Please.
Yep.
Vote.
While we still have the ability to do so.
I know you're probably really tired of hearing about it, but just vote, please.
Do what you can do.
This is a democracy, not a monarchy, and it needs to be known that it's not. Guys, that's all I got. You know the email, cinemagems15@gmail.com. The only social media that we are on is Letterboxd at cinemagemspod, big C, big G, big P. Please check us out, guys. I've been putting down recommendations for everything. I get sent some things on there. I watch the movies personally to review them. If they pass my litmus test, then I pass them on to the Bum Maestro. Guys, if you want us to review a movie, cinemagems15@gmail.com. Marty the Eared Zerber, thank you very much. Kevin George, thank you again. Also, lowrainpictures.com, Cinema Gems tab is really cool, but you should go to the Your 30 tab. Way better.
That one.
Way better. Yep. All right, guys, that's all we got for this week. We'll see you next week for a special movie that the Bump Maestro doesn't want me to mention. And you know what? I'm okay with it.
Not yet. We'll let it be a secret. We'll let it be a reveal. All
right, guys.
Thank y'all for
just
listening.
Remember to wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, Black Lives always matter.
Always. Love y'all.
Bye. See ya.